verses 2 to 7. Feel free to open the Bible and follow along, or the words will also be on the screen. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. And those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Lord Jesus, as we open your word, as we kneel before your word today in our spirit, Lord, we open our ears, open our hearts, Lord, we pray. Open our minds to hear your voice, to hear what you are saying to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, when these words were first spoken by Isaiah, there was, of course, much darkness in the land. And by this, we're not just talking about an absence of light, but it's really speaking about the gloom and the terror and the real lack of hope that these people felt at this time. So it was a dark time in which these people lived. And sometimes we also go through some pretty dark times ourselves, don't we? If you're here last week, you will have heard Paul Miller's excellent explanation of the context that these people were in at this time. But to understand the meaning of these words we've just heard today, why don't we just briefly refresh our minds on the context of this here today as well. So you might remember that in the years that followed Solomon the king, the nation or the people of God were disastrously divided in two. Okay? And so at the time when Isaiah spoke, there were the 10 tribes of Israel in the north, and there were the 2 tribes of Judah in the south. And because they were divided in this way, they were now much more vulnerable and exposed to the increasingly global threat that was brewing in the north. Now, as we've seen in the politics of today, there are many ways that a country under threat might respond, right? Many different ways that a country under threat might respond. So for some, they will increase their spending on the military and on guns. For others, they will focus on making alliances and deals with other countries beyond themselves. And yet for others, still, they will just try to play it safe and to stay out of the way. Probably that's our card there that we play here in New Zealand, I suppose. And it goes on. But when Israel in the north chose to make a deal with the king of Assyria, sorry, let me start that again. When Israel in the north chose to make a deal with the bordering nation of Aram, you've got that just up there above. They thought, maybe they at least hoped, that their cousins in the south would now come and join them too. and they would be strong, and then together they would be able to repel the foe. But when King Ahaz of Judah in the south decided instead to make a deal with the king of Assyria, the one who posed the greatest threat to them all, then things did not look good, and things did not ultimately go well for either Israel in the north or for Judah in the south themselves. So it's fair to say that Isaiah is a book that is filled with these incredible and dark tensions that were there at the time. But it's important for us to see that for each tension that is here in this book, that it's also contrasted against the light that God is bringing to them as well. Okay? So the tensions, the contrasts include the failure of the people who God has called. And Isaiah makes that clear. But this is contrast with the unending faithfulness of our God. Then we see this focus on the tension between the darkness, you know, the gloominess of this time, the lack of hope. But then it is also contrast with the light. There's also the tension between the judgment of our God, the justified judgment of our God, and the hope that God is speaking through this prophet too. These are just some of the big tensions that are playing out in this book. And because we see these same tensions in our lives and in our world today, this is a really important book. And these are really important words for us to listen to today. So with that, I wonder if we could just pause and reflect and perhaps discuss. What do you think are the biggest threats that we face in our world today? Just one. What is the biggest threat that you think we face in the world today? And how do you feel about the future yourself right now as well? Would you just take a minute, turn to someone near you, and discuss what is the biggest threat that we're facing in the world today? I heard the devil. What else have we got? Can I hear some? Feel free to call out in an orderly fashion. I heard you over here, Vaughan. Self-reliance. Okay. I'm seeing some nodding.
Atheism.
Okay. Sinaka.
The war between Ukraine and Russia.
Okay.
So we are very lovable.
War.
And we'll connect.
Yeah. We'll just call it war. Yeah.
Yeah.
War. Vicky. Yeah, climate change. The food poverty that can come because of that, yep. And a lot of other flow-on effects potentially as well. Okay, cool, there's some ideas. So how do we feel about the world today? Is the future bright? Do we feel like the future is bright, or do we have a bit of a gloomy outlook ourselves as well? Okay. Well, for the people to whom Isaiah spoke, we need to know that the future did not look bright at all. So maybe there's a bit of empathy that we have with them ourselves. But despite this, the number one message that God was bringing to them through this man was that God would still bring them through the darkness of this storm. And I believe that is a message we also need to hear. God will bring us through the darkness of this storm. And even in the darkest moments that they would have, the God of light was not absent, but he was already present and at work, and he is clearly also at work in our lives today. Let's open up our eyes and we will see. So we're going to pick this up now with these wonderful words of Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2. The people who are walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those who are in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Now, at this point, it's good for us to know that there are two main reasons why these people, why this nation are in the dark. And the first is that one. For generations now, these people had consistently turned their backs on God. And we're talking, of course, about the God who both was and who still is the source of all of the life and light that we all need. So we need to make a decision. And yet, do we take the time to ask God to speak and to guide us in the decision that we're about to make? Or do we consciously disobey the word of God in various different areas of our lives and how we use our time or our resources, our money, our words, our mind? For generations, these people had consistently turned their backs on God. And the second reason as to why these people were in the dark was because God was about to use this time of judgment, use this time of darkness to remind them of his light and to bring them back into a restored relationship with him. So I wonder if it might help for us to briefly turn back, maybe if you've got a Bible open, you could turn it back to the very first chapter of this book, Isaiah chapter 1. And it might help because here it is very clear that the reason for the darkness that these people felt was because they had turned their backs on God. And yet in this very same passage, it also goes on to say that God was going to remove all in them that was impure. And God was about to make them clean. I think of Paul in this moment, just like that, whose scales were taken from his eyes, the Apostle Paul. God was about to take away all in them that was unclean. So we need to know that Israel and their cousins in the south had actually brought this darkness upon themselves. But we also need to know that God was about to use this very same darkness to enable them to see. To enable them to see both their need and the wonders of God's light, God's unrelenting love once again. Now you might wonder, how does this connect with our lives in our world today? I just want to share very quickly three quick links that stood out the most for me. Number one, today we live at a time that for many people no doubt feels quite dark, as we have just heard and discussed. And we live in a time when many people also fear that even darker times are yet to come. But whether that is because of the economy or of global politics or the climate or AI, there's one that we didn't hear before, maybe the loss of someone close, whatever it might be, the truth is many of us also feel a significant amount of fear and anxiety about this too. And just like Judah, just like the people of Judah way back then, maybe we feel small, maybe we feel weak or exposed because of this great threat, or unsure about where to put our efforts and our time, our trust. How do we support ourselves and our kids through the darkness of this time? But Aslan is on the move. It's like in Narnia, you know. It's always, what's that phrase? It's always winter, but it's never Christmas. And yet, Aslan is on the move. There is light in the midst of the darkness that we feel. Link two. But God's word reminds us that the darkness is not just out there, is it? But the darkness is also in here as well. And this darkness grows when we forget about the God who is the source of all the light and love and life that we all need. And when we forget We forget to pray. Like Ahaz, we often try, therefore, to make our own kinds of clever deals and ways to cope. And then darker and darker we seem to go because we're trying to do it. We're trying to rescue ourselves on our own. So there's the darkness around us. There's the darkness that is within. But link three, and here it is. This is God's grace. God never just leaves us in the darkness that we have made. But just as God used and came right into the darkness of his people, then God will also use all of these things in our lives, not to punish us, not to cause us pain, but to wake us up and to draw us out of the many false hopes and plans that we might make. God will open up our eyes to see his light again. I don't know about you, but I can remember some fairly dark times in my life myself. And for me, the darkness looked like a lot of uncertainty and confusion about where my life was to go, what I was to do. And because of that, I have to say, I felt quite depressed. But now looking back, I can see that God never left me in the dark. But that he led me all the way through from the start and even to right now where I am with you here today. All the way through was just a flickering of God's light that was leading me through. So Isaiah 9 is a message to a people who have failed and who are stumbling around in the dark. But in the terrifying depths of this darkness, the message is a light has dawned. A light has now dawned. And if you can just imagine for a moment being in the dark, in a total absence of any kind of light, then you will know just what a difference even just a small, tiny glimmer of light can make to help you to feel safe. Perhaps to help you to find your keys, to find your way. I remember what it was like on the Kepler track. Has anyone done the Kepler track or part of the Kepler track up to, I think it's Luxmore Hut? Yeah, and then you go up to the caves. Okay, so we went quite deep into the caves as a family, and then the challenge was to turn out the lights. Hey, and you know how dark it is, and you're deep in these caves. I wondered to myself what would happen if our torches were to break or we lost, you know, ran out of batteries and we're deep in the dark in that place. It's a terrifying prospect to have in mind, but what a difference just a little bit of light can make. Hey. Well, today we think of Jesus as the light, don't we? For those to whom Isaiah spoke, then it would still be almost, did you know, it would still be almost 800 years before he was even born. It's interesting, isn't it? Isaiah says, to those who walk in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. But it was still be 800 years before Jesus came. And that's a long time to wait for a promise to be fulfilled, isn't it? It's a long time to be down in that cave in the dark. Hey. And that would be even truer, I think, in a time of exile, you know, in a time of loss, of uncertainty and fear. So I guess with this in mind, I was wondering to myself this week, what would it have been like for them? And I was wondering if this meant that for all of those generations, could it be for them that there was no light or no hope for them at all? Were they completely in the dark? But get this. And you know what? For me, here is the miracle of it all. And that is that the light never, in fact, went out. It never went out. God never just abandoned his people to the dark. And it might feel like that for us as well, that God does, but God never abandons his people to the dark. But he was with them all the way through. And how much more true must this be now for us today? Even in the darkest of times that we might face. So just think about how God was with his people in exile. How Daniel was kept alive and unhurt when he was thrown into the den of lions. How did Daniel's friends survive the fire? What about Brent, you mentioned before, Esther? You know, used by God to help save her nation when they were under threat as well. What about before the exile too? Isaiah mentions the day of Midian's defeat. Now what is that? Well, I want to point out that when Isaiah speaks of Midian's defeat, that it's a link right back to the time of the judges. So this is sort of after Moses, after Joshua, and they've moved into the time of judges. And it's a link to when God used Gideon and his army of just 300 men to rout an army that in Judges 7 is described as being both as thick as locusts. So you think dark, and whose camels, it says, appeared to outnumber the grains of sand on the beach. And with just 300 men, God prevailed on their behalf. So it was a victory that did not make sense, right? And the whole point that's being made here is that the God who was with his people then and who rescued his people way back then is still with and will still rescue his people now. That is the point that Isaiah is trying to make. So it's like Isaiah says, right, you've heard how God has done this before. And so you'd better believe that he will do this for you again. You've heard, you've seen maybe how God has done this for you before. So you'd better believe that he will do this for you again. And this is why Isaiah speaks, I think, in the present tense. You know, the people who are walking in darkness have seen. And on them a light has dawned. Are you with me? Here's the point. The point is that God's presence and God's power, and which is imagined in this book as light, it's not just a distant memory from the past, but it's a sign and it's a reminder that God both was and that God still is with us now. And even when it seems like we're in the dark. And how much more must this truth apply for us today who live on the other side of our Savior's birth? So I guess that some might think that today that when Isaiah spoke about a great light that had dawned, that he was saying that you just have to hold on. You just have to wait another 800 years in the dark of that cave. And then all will be well. I can't live 800 years though. But the real point that he is making is that the God who has always been at your side and who is with you now will again and in the future act in power. And yet this time, Isaiah says, this time he will come to you himself. This time he will come to you himself. And he will not come as a sort of abstract power or distant force or a doctrine or an idea, but this time, Isaiah says, he will come to you as a child. He will come to you as a child that you can hold, and he will grow into a king. And just look at the joy and the peace that this king will bring. You heard these words before. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And his government will look like this: unending peace. He will establish it and uphold it from this time on with justice and righteousness forever. Now, as we close, I want to help us to think about what this really could mean for us today, what this could mean for you. So I just want to ask us some questions to reflect on before I close. Question one, where in your life do you need a wonderful counselor like this? You know? Where in your life do you need the kind of wisdom, the kind of guidance that no one else could give? No one else could bring but this king. Or do you need a mighty God who has power and authority over evil, over sickness, over sin, and even over death? Or do you need to know and to rediscover the infinite love and care of an everlasting Father who will never, ever let you down? What about the Prince of Peace? And who offers and who brings peace both between us and God himself, and between you and someone else? Where in your life do you need the Prince of Peace? And don't forget that in his kingdom, in this king's kingdom, that we're also here to be shaped by him and to express with his Spirit's help all of these things for others too. So if you've received the peace that Jesus brings, in what way are you growing as a person of peace yourself? And in what ways are you working to reconcile with those where there is hurt or division or disunity or distrust? And if you know the love of the everlasting Father, then in what ways are you helping us to be the kind of family, the kind of church that is also passing on that same welcome and love and care to others too? Wow, I was inspired by those volunteers out there this week who are not even part of the church. Or if you want to know the mighty power of our God, then are you willing to step out of the boat and to trust in his power today? Are you willing to take the next step of faith that he's asking you to take, so that he can show both you and the world his power and strength through you? And lastly, if you've received the wonderful wisdom and counsel of that Jesus brings, are you listening right now to his Spirit's voice with respect to all of the choices that you need to make about how you use your money or your energy, your resources, and your time? Let's remember that in all of the darkness that we might feel and that we may yet come into, to do with our health, to do with the direction of our lives, to do with pain and loss, to do with anything else as well. Let's remember, a great light has dawned. He's with us. Jesus, who shines the way, he is with us here today. He's with you. Let's pray. Lord our God, to you who spoke light out of the darkness of our world, would you speak and breathe your very own light into each of our lives today? In the places where we feel distant, where we feel afraid or confused or depressed or whatever else it might be, would you give us your peace? And would you give to us a growing trust in your power? Would you guide our steps where we feel lost? And would you use us to be people and a church who will carry and reflect your life and light and love so that others will see and come to know you too? We ask this in the mighty name of Jesus, our wonderful counselor, our mighty God, our everlasting Father, and our Prince of Peace. We pray. Amen. Thanks, Brent.